aus dem Haunted House.
I am so, so sorry.
I call it sport.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amélie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
Mirage to Mr. Hyde.
Mirage, the leader of the New Mutants and pretty much the star of the New Mutants movie, Danielle or Danny Moonstar, is a Native American teenager of the Cheyenne First Nation with the mutant power to make you hallucinate your greatest fear or, with more difficulty, your greatest desire. At some point, the New Mutants were kidnapped and taken to Asgard by the Enchantress, where Danny rescued a winged horse and bonded with it. This made her an honorary Valkyrie. Now, she could also sense the coming of death and even fight the incarnation of death to save the doomed soul. It also gave her the ability to manifest a ghost staff with which to fight, staff or spear sort of thing. Danny is a proud, strong-willed, even defiant young woman devoted to her family and her team. She takes her responsibilities very seriously and is connected to her culture, like she speaks the Cheyenne language fluently and is an expert tracker. Shown in the danger room avoiding a robot opponent, tickling Wolfbane with imaginary snow, showing a couple of women some kind of vampire, making Cyclops think he's a monster, and on the back of her winged horse, Brightwind.
Oh, is it an ink problem, or is she meant to be that red skin? Because it makes me uncomfortable.
Yes, same. I was thinking the exact same thing.
This is Native American skin coloring in the 80s, where the color palette wasn't so...
We're all uncomfortable now. Yes, excellent.
That annoys me because everything else is not cliche. Like, obviously, some of it is, but her powers aren't like, oh, she can track anything. You know, it's just part of her culture. It's not her character. So I was happy about that. And then I zoomed in on the face. And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not great. But I like the rest of it. It's like a cool chick.
I gotta say, like, in comparison to others that we've seen, it's not, like, overtly, like, Native American, which I think is probably a good move. Like, we've seen other people that was just, like, a little, it was too cliche and too stereotypical, but it's fairly subtle here, which is pretty cool, actually.
How come she doesn't have an X for her school picture day? She does have it in the other images. She has the X bow.
Okay, I was like, does she have like a quintessential ex partner or something that I should do that? I was like, what do you mean? The belt. Okay, the belt.
Because my reflex was, wait a minute, this is X-Men colors. Like, where's the X? And you know what? It's kind of refreshing that it's not there.
It feels a little bit with the boots like it doesn't fit, which makes me a little bit feel like she's Canadian and she needs to wear outdoor shoes before she comes to the office to then switch to like black or yellow boots that work with the outfit.
Sometimes I'm sad that people don't have that same experience in some areas.
Jealous that they don't.
I don't know. I think it's kind of special that we have special boots for outside.
In December, sure. But by March there, I'm just tired of it. I like that she's tickling this monster with snow.
It's just a wolf. Wolfsbane is just in a wolf form. So it's not a monster.
But I'd like to say that wolves are monsters.
I was not aware that wolves were ticklish, though. The more you know.
Scientifically proven.
Honestly, though, we often like to imagine my dog being able to be tickled and like what her laugh would sound like. Like, I really wish dogs could laugh. I'd love to hear my dog laugh. Like, when we say a joke or something, she'd be like, ha, ha, ha. Like, yes, please.
I really find the power interesting because it's easier for the negative stuff than the positive stuff, which is kind of an interesting twist on the like a core power.
I mean, isn't that the way though? So much easier to focus on the bad shit.
Well, I'm sure like most people have more on the surface what they're afraid of than what they like truly desire. Like, what do you truly desire? I don't know. A donut?
I find that interesting because like old legend of mermaids, it wasn't just singing. It was, they would make you hallucinate your deepest desires. And that's how you would get trapped. I find that interesting that it's the same power, the positive and negative as well.
For some reason, her name being on the nose doesn't bother me as much. I have a question though. What happens if your greatest fear and your deepest desire are the same thing?
Ooh, I mean, it makes her job easier.
You die instantly.
But is it like double dose?
I gotta say though, I don't like, I wouldn't love to, like, we've said this before in other episodes, but like, I don't like the idea of not being able to trust my brain. So like, being like forced to hallucination.
Sorry, I'm just like, this is my life. You can trust your brain.
I mean, I can't always, but like sometimes it's like, I usually will be able to know if there's something terrifying in front of me or not. And that's unsettling to me. Like, that seems like a really scary power to have.
None of you have seen the New Mutants movie, right?
I did.
No.
Because it is a horror movie, and part of it is because of Mirage. Mirage is like the new kid in school and her powers are kind of a little bit out of control. So it becomes a horror movie.
In my opinion, it was well executed in the movie. It's not a great movie, but it was enjoyable.
Is the middle panel like the person, like an example of what it looks like in comic, a Mirage situation?
Yeah.
I don't love that.
Does she watch this happen? Like, does she see them? The Mirages?
Yeah, I think she's aware of the Mirage, but...
I feel like that must be a little traumatic as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have to look at it. You have to look at everyone's fears.
Yeah, that can't be super fun.
What if someone else's fear is also your fear? So yeah, you're manifesting your own fear by accident.
That's a bad day.
I would be afraid to, like, all of a sudden be afraid of snakes. Like seeing him, someone else's, and then being like, wow, snakes are scary. And now just like accumulating. Right?
Yeah, you're just adding shit onto your list.
But it's like when someone talks about how itchy they are, or they talk about bugs, and then suddenly you get itchy.
Or it's just Mirage walking around being like, you know what? You're right. You're right. That is fucking scary.
What's her greatest fear?
No, you're asking too much of me.
She's the leader. She has like 2.5 pages.
If someone knows that in the comments, they'll let us know if they ever say it.
These are the kinds of questions that you just answer for yourselves and you make up your own story.
But what was it in the movie? Was it not like
the bear or something? Yeah, there's a giant bear. The giant bear that killed her parents or whatever it is. Or, you know, there's
So you do know the answer.
Can we really trust a movie?
Yeah. No, it's the stuff in the movie is also in the comics.
Okay.
Can't trust our brain, can't trust our mic.
Half is in shambles.
This is a good example of an X-Men character who had okay powers, but then the writer loved her so much that he gave her all this Valkyrie stuff, and you know, that's outside the not just simply the mutant power, but this whole other part of it as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, the whole flying horse situation is awesome and I love it.
I want to be a Valkyrie.
Yeah, that's rad as hell.
I want a flying horse. I don't want
to. I don't know. I feel like the war would suck.
Yeah.
The war part of being a warrior?
Cool. Yeah, you know.
I don't want to be Valkyrie. I just want the
outfit,
horse.
Flying horse, cool. War,
they look cool as hell, though. So if nothing else, just kind of take some Instagram photos and then leave.
Yeah. You should just
in
like,
that way.
Basically, a real Valkyrie would offer a photo op option, be a Valkyrie for a day.
I'd do that.
You know, I'm looking at the drawing, and I don't think I've ever really, like, thoroughly thought through where your legs were around the wings.
Yeah.
You gotta make some choices.
Just like, oh, the legs go in front of the wings?
Well, no. The way it's drawn, only one of them looks like it's in front. Unless her left leg is twice the size, there's no way it's over that wing.
Yeah, the angles are not great on this.
What's the name of her horse?
Bright Wind.
Oh.
Nice. It's a good name.
I like that. Because, like, wind is not usually associated to light. So I think that's cool. Strong Wind would be like, ugh, whatever. Bright Wind, really cool.
You can name him BW.
B-dubs.
I'm
off to war, B-dubs.
So basically the two panels we have there, the two panels, so the one with the vampire thing and the one with Cyclops. Is this always how it's pictured in a comics? Because I figured it's kind of weird that for the reader to be able to see the reality and the mirage, there's so much more potential maybe. But at the same time, I know you don't want to have like a whole issue that's like, it was just a mirage. But I feel like it's a bit weird for the reader to have see it always like that.
It depends on the artist, honestly. But like, these are two different artists, I think, and they both did it that way. So this was basically the way, but you could do it with surprints, you could do it with, you know, false reality. Over the years, different artists have done it differently.
Is the wolf?
Yeah, the snow around the wolf, that's not in like a wavy bubble or anything.
It's not, okay, it's so fake snow though. He's just imagining snow.
Wolf, the wolf is a she? Her? Okay, yeah. She's there.
Sorry, I couldn't see wolf. Because of her tail.
I doubt they would have gotten that far in the anatomy in this drawing, but...
Is she a good leader? Not the wolf, I mean, Mirage.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, junior X-Men, you know, New Mutants are young people. She's like 16. Yeah, as far as like head of her class. And yeah, I think she's a good leader.
Again, with the panel with Cyclops. Why is she showing him himself?
That's not her decision. His greatest fear is that he's a monster, that he's dangerous.
Yeah, but there's nothing different is what I mean. It's the same.
Look at the teeth.
No, there the teeth. Is.
It's a bad joke. And the other thing is, freaking love the outfit. I want that outfit.
Yeah, she's in the Cyclops pretty. Panel?
Yeah, she's just casual wear. It's cool.
She's actually got like an interesting body type. I don't feel like we have that much in women. I guess she's like a younger girl too. So I guess that's a normal design, I guess, for a teenager. But she does like more like scrawny. She's got pretty eyes too.
I love the hair though. I like that it's like in braids.
Braids are practical. But after a certain age, you look like you're trying to be a kid. Saddens me.
Especially doubled braids like that.
Yeah, I actually like that there's movement in the picture.
Mm.
Like, it's interesting that her hair is like swinging. Like, she's just like spun around, just like, I'm here.
And you can even tell with her boots, the like fringe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's basically landing from jumping off the horse.
Nice.
That's my theory.
That's how you make an entrance.
I'm going to ask, is Mirage hot or not?
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I like her.
When you get over the fact that the skin color is cringy, yeah, she's hot.
My greatest fear is that she won't like what I say. I don't know. That was terrible. She's fine. Everyone's fine. Let's move on.
Everyone's fine. Podcast over.
Enthusiasm.
That's actually how we end the show. We just never continue after that.
The reason you survived is because you're a very uncommon girl.
You've been through a lot. Get some rest.
Mr. Fantastic, the leader of the Fantastic Four, Reed Richards, is a brilliant scientist, first and foremost. And like the rest of the FF, he took a rocket to space and got zapped by cosmic rays, which in his case gave him the power to stretch. You could say it's because he's always reached for the future. He's shown in various stretch positions with some basic shapes like turning into a bouncing ball, gliding on air currents as a thin, flat tarp, both fighting and relaxing. There's also a picture of him flying part of the Fantastic Car, one of his many, many inventions, the patents for which keep the FF able to live lives of adventure. The best known of these inventions is unstable molecules, of which many superhero costumes are made. It's why his uniform stretches with him or the Human Torch doesn't burn off. Basically, it's what makes your suit share your powers. Reed is a pipe-smoking intellectual who prefers figuring things out and negotiating to fighting, and is a dedicated humanitarian. Scientific puzzles keep him up at night, and he's been known to ignore his friends and his wife when laser-focused on a problem. It's caused problems in his marriage, but don't take that to mean he doesn't love his wife and kids.
He's melting.
Yeah, what's happening in those three pictures? Please,
they're my favorite.
I can't stop staring at it.
It looks like a meme. Like, I feel like, you know, you have like the galaxy brain meme. Like, this is what that feels like to me. Yeah, there's some weird stretch images here.
I feel it's very The Incredibles, the mom, Helen, she had the same power of stretch.
I think the correlation is the other way. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It just reminds me a lot of it.
Yeah, and she was hotter.
I'm sure there's no Edna Mole shame. She's amazing.
Somebody had to design these, what do you say, unstable moleculed suits?
Yes.
Somebody has to design that.
The tarp makes me so uncomfortable.
I love the tarp. The tarp is my second favorite after the sequence of smushed faces.
To me, it kind of looks like, I feel like in the last like couple years, like people are buying essentially like gigantic hoodies.
Oh my God, yes.
That's what it feels like to me. It's just like a fucking blanket. He's a blanket.
Oh my God, I'm so happy there's no merch where he's an actual blanket and there's like a head. And,
oh, ew.
Imagine how terrible that would be.
Oh, you say there is.
It would be the hoodie. The hoodie part of the blanket would be his head, and then you'd wrap the rest around you.
He is snuggy.
I don't hate the stretched out part. It's the tiny, tiny legs and feet that disturb me.
Yeah, like there's something about, okay, fine, you stretch your body, but the body shape is completely, completely changed. Like, where did his hip go? Where?
They stretched.
Not okay.
Organs?
Don't ask where the organs go or the bones. You know, maybe he's like solid stretched rubber.
Oh man, I'm sure he has no back pain.
Oh my God, that must be nice.
You know when you just like can't get comfortable?
Yep, yeah. That's my life.
I feel like he could be like sleeping in like very strange positions. You know, like cats just like get into positions. You're like, how is this comfortable? I bet he's like a cat.
I imagine sharing a bed with him because he falls asleep as a normal human being. But you wake up in the middle of the night and he's still asleep. And to be comfortable, like his arm is in the other room and he's all flat at some places. That would be traumatizing.
Oh, but think of the cuddling and how practical it would be.
Yeah, he could flatten his arm under you.
That's so good.
Yeah, that's the dream.
when you're like cuddling on their shoulder and the shoulder's just very high, I'm going to get a sore neck from this. But then you could just flatten his shoulder and you could have a very supportive surface, like an orthopedic pillow.
Yeah, and you could make it like more mushy to be more comfortable as well, not just bony.
Yeah, less bones. He could have like a blanket to go over your shoulder if you get cold.
That's what I want to see. I want to see the day-to-day life. How does he like use it in fun ways? And
you're in bed. You ran out of water. He just stretches his arm to the kitchen to get you another glass. No one has to get up.
Of all the Fantastic Fours, this is probably the power that I would use the most.
It's like forever.
It happens like fairly often in my life. Or like, shit, that's just a little too far. Or like literally, like I will try and reach for something and hurt myself. I do that frankly way too often. I like leaned to get a towel the other day and I was like, Like, this
oh my
is
God.
Genuinely, like, a power that I think would be useful in actual life.
Getting my purse in the backseat would no longer be a problem while
oh
driving.
Oh, my God.
Getting I enough. Actually sprained my neck last oh. yesterday.
Yeah,
doing it.
It's so easy to do. This yeah. thing is just slightly too far.
What if you have to get up in the middle of a theater and you can just make yourself super thin paper sheet as you go in front of the people? Even if they don't get up, you're not like climbing over them.
Oh yeah,
nice.
That's nice.
Could I also solid. Just stretch my bottom half to make it go to the bathroom?
Yes. So you can still have your head here. It wouldn't be very subtle.
I sure hope you picked a seat that's close to the exit just for that, because if it's going all the way across the theater, like,
nice. You'd have to stretch your arms too to put your pants down, and you know.
Yeah, you no, just no. need your head.
I'm sure I can train my legs to put my pants down.
Nice. This is the smartest person in the Marvel Universe, and his power is this silly.
I love it.
Look, he doesn't have
it.
A big forehead. He can't be
yeah,
smart.
Truly. I right? actually kind of like that, because I feel like all the brainy characters, yeah, they have like a gigantic head, or they look like their power is just like manipulation. Like, it's always
I
manipulation
yeah.
with the smart characters, and like, fuck that. So, like, I like that this is just like physical, 100% physical.
And I think really smart people often stretch themselves too thin.
Yeah!
They actually use that those kinds of metaphors a lot with him.
Did they?
When I heard like kind of a low groan when I said he's reaching for the future, and but that's the comics are saying that each of their powers is kind of based on their personality.
Yeah,
you know?
And you said that he was like, you know, sometimes so involved in his work that he like forgets to pay attention to his family. So then that's kind of related as well in that way.
Like,
okay,
like,
and that makes
like,
sense with what? The Human Torch that is a hot-headed, and is it that Sue wanted to like disappear sometimes?
Yeah,
didn't
she
want
was
attention?
A wallflower originally. To answer your sort of invented story of being in bed. And he can reach for a glass of water for you or whatever. I think the whenever you wake up in the middle of the night and you look at Reed, he's just not there. He's working in the lab. You yeah, know, like he got up during the middle family. Of the night because he got like a genius idea or something.
Yeah,
I would so not be down for that. How much in control is like let's say he is sleeping beside you and he has a nightmare. Can he like suddenly become a different shape?
It must be the same as regular humans, that there's a process where you get paralyzed when you sleep.
But yeah, some people kick in their sleep.
Yeah, I started to run in my sleep once. That was weird.
What if he bums like a tarp in his sleep?
I mean, that's probably best case scenario. It's just another blanket.
I sort of want to see a comic book where the whole issue, you're just watching people sleeping. It would answer these questions, but you know, it's not normally the content.
That's what we want, Mike. We want stories of mundane actions such as spending the night together,
taking
a shower, getting a coffee.
I'm still curious. Can he stretch his dick?
Yeah,
I was gonna say
that, because if we didn't bring up the penis thing, people would be like, "Oh, you did not bring up the penis thing." So yes, right?
But the thing is,
bring up the penis.
If it's stretched, it's not necessarily good.
Yeah, it gets longer but thinner, so it doesn't necessarily.
Well, he can manipulate matter, though. Like,
he can get any shape.
The way he's
it could
melting.
Be ripped for your pleasure is what I'm saying.
Oh, now we're talking.
It could also just curve slightly for the G-spot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He must be so good at having sex in cars.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That is hard mode, pun intended.
You know what bothers me, though? His like main picture. He does not look like the same character. He's too buff in it. Really? I'm sorry. If you're that obsessed with science, you're not working out.
No, we've established this in comics. All scientists are buff. They're all buff scientists.
I'd say that that's a stretch.
I do want to point out that I really like
Silver. Me too.
Silver sideburn yeah. situation. Yeah. I just think that looks great on people, so that's nice.
I think
he does wear the costume well. Like, he's very attractive in the costume.
Mm.
But I feel like he should be more lanky. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you would think the body type would be more related to his power.
What's with those shoulders? Like, lats.
Is it real muscle or is he...
that's the other thing. You never really know what his actual body shape is.
It's all fun and games when he's wearing this suit. But, like, if he was that tarp, but with his skin, this would be a totally different vibe.
He'd be like a flying squirrel.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
A naked, like, no hair squirrel. Like, ugh.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
It's so much worse.
Thank God he got a suit that jets along with him. Because, man.
Like, will imagine the skin flapping everywhere.
Will he never suffer from erectile dysfunction?
Or will he always suffer?
Is Mr. Fantastic hot or not?
I'm going to go with yes, but I'm still not a fan of that putting work over family thing.
Yeah.
I think we need to have a discussion about that.
Honestly, I can so relate to that. Like, the mode of you have a question, you need to find out now what the answer is. I have that mode. And that's why sometimes in the middle of the night, I'm reading about, like, when did abortion become taboo in all the main religions? I don't know why, but I just really get into things. And I think we could have that in common. And I think his pursuit of knowledge is hot. Also, the bendy stuff.
I just don't like that he sacrifices his family so much for work.
Who cares?
To be fair, I do. It's not like his wife like doesn't know what, you know, it's not like he's like running away and she doesn't know what's happening or whatever. At least she knows what's going on.
They're in the same team.
Yeah, so that helps at least, I think, because like I think it's easy to imagine it kind of like in the yeah, the sitcom trope where you're on two dates at once kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But like, she knows where he's going. It's just unfortunate, basically.
It seems kind of nice to actually have, like, they don't have to hide from each other. Like, it sort of avoids that kind of storyline since they're a couple, but they're both heroes and it's just not a thing. There's not like this stressor of like hiding who you are from your partner or for the city.
I want to put out there that I'm not a fan of calling them FFs. That just doesn't work for me.
Why?
Well, one is a word, one is a number. It should be F4. It should not. FF also sounds like SS. Not cool.
I will say Mr. Fantastic. I don't know. It sounds sarcastic. It's just like, oh, here's Mr. Fantastic. Like, I feel like you can't say it seriously.
So, yeah, I think physically he's attractive. He has a lot going on for himself. I'm just not sure, personality-wise, I wouldn't necessarily click well with him. I with a silly power like that, I feel like he should be maybe sillier.
No, man, I love the contradiction.
It's because of that. Like, I like it on a reader's perspective, but dating... it probably wouldn't work.
It would be a challenge.
Would he like me?
You often ask that. Would this character like me? I think
you keep bringing up that I have this catchphrase. I'm going to start saying that to you now.
You have said it before.
Either you ask if the character would like you, or
you say they wouldn't.
Or you say they wouldn't. You express that they wouldn't like you.
Oh, that's not the same.
I think I might be able to find a comic book where Reed Richards is sleeping in a weird position. I might be able to do that.
Please.
I would not be able to find a comic where your question is answered. Where you show up in the comic and Reed Richards goes, I like or dislike you.
He visits Atlantic Canada and goes to Lily's workplace and
please find a panel of him saying, I don't like you.
Or I like you. Your pick.
Okay, I get that I often question whether they would like me back. Usually I have a sense of, no, they definitely, I would drive them crazy. But this guy, I don't know. I think I'd like him. I don't know if he'd like me.
I don't think he would. I think you guys have some similar stuff going on. I think you could get along.
Cool.
Except you would laugh at his name, Mr. Fantastic, because, you know.
Can I just say?
I would yell it sarcastically in bed.
Can I just say that I never see the word Mr. spelled out, and I hate it.
Yeah, it does look silly.
I will say I'm shocked at how much like Mr. Fantastic has gotten based on earlier shows.
But I was going to get to that, actually.
Yeah. Like, I remember that.
We never like the Fantastic Four.
Like, and I think that when we reviewed the Fantastic Four themselves, we were all like, ugh, Mr. Fantastic. Meh.
I don't know. He appeals to me more than a lot of them. But also, I will 100% admit that it's the movie's fault. I just want to see the Fantastic Four in like a good media. Like, I just want to see them in a good movie or TV show, see them portrayed in a fun way, and I will probably really like them. But I've watched a bunch of movies and they're always either just okay at best. So I think once I get like an actual good shot, I think I'll like them. But I think I like him more generally. Like, I'm more interested in this character than most of them.
I think asking a good Fantastic Four movie is a lot, Nat.
It's coming. Well, it's coming.
We have chances coming up.
Can we have like a just like a Mr. Fantastic, and it's just about being a workaholic and stretchy?
See, then it wouldn't be called Fantastic Four. See, that was the error in their marketing. They're stuck with being the four. Poor.
Just Mr. Fantastic.
It is, you say that, and at one point, the comic was called just FF, and it stood for First Foundation, and it was much more than just the four main
members. I hate that even more.
It sounds kind of like a cult.
There's got to be a porn called Fantastic Foursome.
For sure. I guess that would be incest, wouldn't it? So that's like a different.
No, why did you? Oh.
They're a family of four.
As if that stops Pornhub.
Yeah, honestly. True.
As long as Johnny doesn't sleep with Sue, it's fine.
Yeah, that's not, then it's not incest.
What do you think a foursome is?
Well,
that
I mean,
could be like an orgy where they don't touch.
I don't think so.
Johnny's at the back of the centipede. No. Next.
Mr. Bombastic. We want some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover. She called me Mr. Bombastic, fully fantastic. Touch me on my box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic. Call me fantastic, touch me on my box, she says I'm Mr. Smooth.
Mr. Fear.
Oh.
There have been four men who have used the Mr. Fear persona, mostly against Daredevil, whose nickname is the Man Without Fear. So that's the first was the owner of a wax museum, an amateur scientist who accidentally invented a fear gas. So, of course, he became a criminal. The three others are guys who got their hands on the original's costume and equipment. The first two getting themselves killed in action. This newest one is the nephew of Mr. Fear number three. His big scheme was to threaten New York with a small nuclear device, but he was stopped by Spider-Man and Hawkeye, who are pictured cowering from him at the bottom of the page. Mr. Fear uses a gun that fires fear gas pellets that give you a freeze or flight reflex. He also keeps some fear poison in his ring so he can punch you into terror. The costume includes a gas mask so that he can't be affected by his own gas. The other Mr. Fears were into street crimes. This new guy had bigger ambitions to get bigger money.
What are you doing right now? I'm really into fear. You know, it's street crimes and fear. That's what I'm into right now.
I love that, you know, he accidentally invented a fear gas. So obviously he became a criminal, you know, as you do.
I mean, what else are you going to do with fear guy?
So this is the Marvel Scarecrow.
No, because Marvel.
The other way around?
No. But Marvel has a character called Scarecrow.
So. But like power-wise.
But power-wise, yeah, it's similar. Yeah.
I like the name Mr. Fear, because that also, I think for the same reason for Mr. Fantastic, it sounds sarcastic, like, oh, what are you going to do, Mr. Fear? Oh, is Mr. Fear going to, I feel like you can't say it seriously.
It's the Mr., like, why so formal?
Yeah, I like it, though. I kind of like it.
I have trouble taking it seriously because I keep thinking of Mr. Clean and Mr. Fear. And you know those little, like, books we used to have with the Mr. and Mrs.?
Oh, Mr. and Mrs., oh. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This string of Misters is going to do
me. Oh, there must be a Mr. Fear.
Oh, yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. I think he's blue, and I think he's very shaky.
But it's probably fearful or something, because I think it's all adjectives. It's like, oh, Mr. Probably, Happy. Yeah. It can't be Mr. Happiness.
Does he have a skull face?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Is it like a mask?
It's his gas mask.
That's cool.
I like the colors and stuff in the mask. Definitely my vibe.
His collar is, as other people, ridiculously long, though. It makes his head seem so small.
You know, I don't know. Maybe this isn't true, maybe. It's probably not true. But I feel like it's been a while since we've seen, like, a real gun. Just, like, a real gun. Not just, like, a spacey, like, strange, like, weird extra bits. But just, like, a straight-up gun.
Well, it's a fear gun, so it's still sci-fi.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it looks like a gun.
Yeah, especially, like, up that way. Like, if we saw it from the top, there might be, like, some weird canister or something, but...
Where's the breakdown of the gun? I want the chart.
The cape buttons are comically large to me.
What?
Why are they so big?
Also, what's on them?
It's just chrome reflections.
Okay.
But I agree, they look like...
I see a rubber ducky and a bear paw.
Yeah, a bear paw, yeah.
When I saw them, originally the picture was very far away, zoomed out. I thought it was boobs. And I had to zoom in to be like, what is this? And then I was like, oh, it's just weird buttons. But also, like, what's up with, like, the cutout of his top? He's just exposing them nipples.
Yeah, that is a choice.
That is a very odd choice. You're very zooming in, Mike.
It's also very unfortunate how there's a definite lack of bulge.
Oh, yeah, no bulge.
Zoom in on the bulge, quickly.
Hey!
Keep zooming, I see nothing.
It looks like a Ken doll.
Okay.
I feel like a lack of chest coverage together with a hood and a really big collar and a mask is very much a villain thing.
Yeah. It's all about those high collars and chest reveals.
Like, this couldn't be like Mr. Happy. Like,
you just draw a smile on the skeleton face.
It's just anonymous and sexy.
Does the fear gas work on him?
That's why he wears the mask, yeah.
So it would, yeah.
But it would affect him?
Yeah.
I bet that's how we figure out what was happening, actually. It's like, if he was doing it himself, he probably got scared.
And I bet that there's a lot of comic that ends up with him being scared by his own gas.
He turned to crime. But what are you doing that you're accidentally creating fear gas? What were you working on?
It's in the description. He was trying to bring his wax sculptures to life so he could have an army of slaves.
Oh, so he was not a good dude anyway.
So not a good dude. Good premise.
I guess they're not really alive. That's weird, though. That's a weird goal to have.
I find that most scientific discoveries, a lot of them, it's like they were planning on one thing and then it turns out to be something completely different. Like, all the time.
But, like, it would be different if he was trying to cure cancer. There, he wanted to create an army. So, he was already a villain to begin with.
Yeah.
I guess he just became a different villain than what he was expecting to be.
Yeah.
I wonder. Sometimes life just gives you lemons. And
and you squeeze the fear out of them.
I wonder, like, if I was in this situation... Not necessarily just him, but like in general, like all those people that kind of stumbled into it, what would I do? I don't know.
you would turn to crime.
I'd like to think that I wouldn't, but I don't know that for sure.
If you're a good person and you actually accidentally invent something terrible, do you just like not tell anyone?
Yeah, what do you do with that information?
Because I feel like the only use for that is like military.
Yeah, which I wouldn't want to give that to the military. That seems terrible. Like I don't know.
Like they're not going to be responsible with this. They're going to misuse this fear gas.
Obviously.
But I feel like it's not a power that's necessarily evil. If a good guy would use it to spread fear to the bad guys, could still be a hero. So it depends on what you want to achieve. If you want to, you know, rob a bank, then okay, I guess you're a villain now.
Is Mr. Fear hot or not?
No.
I mean, is it nice beyond the fear gas thing? Behind the gas mask, is it an arid guy? Or is it
there's been four of them. So to me, this guy is a suit. He's a set of powers in a suit. That's why I didn't go into his personality because there are four different guys. The guy with the wax museum and then three people who stole the suit and did stuff with it. So basically, whenever Marvel wants to do a fear story, they get Mr. Fear out. They put somebody in the suit.
It still sounds sarcastic. They get Mr. Fear out. And
can I just say, I'm really upset that he was trying to make wax figures become alive to have slaves and not just to make his friggin' exhibit be amazing. Wouldn't you go to a wax museum where they could move?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. No, I would not. Absolutely. Millions of dollars. Not.
Well, presuming that he was not going to pay them, he could do that with his slave too.
Yeah, I guess. It's just that the slave word is so
it's charged.
So a knot.
Honestly, like, I do kind of like the design and stuff though.
Yeah,
I
think, the color combo and
as
stuff
far as
cool.
Like villains go, I think he's actually kind of cool.
With those nips out? Really?
Free the nips, man.
Not like that.
I like the design, and I'm actually a fan of that sort of powers. I mean, I know it's more science than powers in this case. I don't know why. I guess maybe because I'm also like a bit of a fan of scary movies and stuff like that. So I would not hate it. I know it's not the same if you experience your real fear than watching someone experience it. But I think I would have to say hot.
I'm like not. I think the design is cool, but I think he's a not for me.
I think his voice would sound like
meh. Yeah, he's Skeletor.
No, it would sound muffled because he has a gas mask.
He's Skeletor Bane. Yeah, a lot of fear in this episode.
Remember the fear. We'll need a theme for
still
the
fear.
Oh no, but
for the female bag, we'll need
that's
a theme.
A weird theme.
I am so scared.
Oh god.
Bit more of a concern. Mr. Hyde, a medical research scientist, Calvin Zabo, believed Robert Louis Stevenson's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was more than just a story, and he spent all his free time trying to create or recreate the formula. This led him to steal money and chemicals from various employers. So when he applied for a job with Don Blake, the human identity of the mighty Thor at the time, he was turned away due to his bad reputation. He succeeded in his project soon after, the formula turning him into a large, super strong Mr. Hyde, a creature of savage anger and animalistic ferocity, who, of course, went off to kill Don Blake and put Hyde in Thor's path. He's since become an all-purpose villain, going up against various heroes and serving in the Masters of Evil. To become Mr. Hyde for a time, I'm not sure how long, Zabo drinks his serum and within 30 seconds has essentially become a different person, losing his goatee, for example, and even changing fingerprints. But both Zabo and Hyde are sociopaths with a dangerous mastery of science. So it isn't unusual for Mr. Hyde, aggressive though he may seem, to use mad scientific inventions in his schemes. He's shown ripping a wall apart.
Don't you hate it when you apply for a job and your criminal record prevents you from getting that job? Happens all the time.
I shouldn't have done that graffiti when I was 16.
Haunting me.
Here's my question. Did he not get to the end of the book?
Honestly, I barely did. That book's not that great.
I don't remember being particularly tedious, but like, dude, this was not a good idea.
Maybe he's like those people who watch just like the first half of Clockwork Orange and don't get like the lesson.
I have 15 minutes left. I've yet to finish it.
That's absurd.
I had had enough.
I also only watched the beginning of Clockwork Orange, but that was because I was watching it at work as a teenager, and I had to offer a guided tour of the Pope's Museum. Yes, we were watching that at a Pope's Museum.
Nice.
Is it like huge, or is it just like the picture?
He's 6'5" as Hyde and 420 pounds of muscle.
Because his hands look like huge.
Oh yeah, no, this guy can fight Thor. So
I really like his outfit.
It's a good outfit.
Yeah, good suit.
It's a cool suit, man.
I like the posture also. Like I feel like the pose is really dynamic. So that's fun.
And it does kind of look like he has gum in his mouth, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, I hate it. I hate spit-related stuff. And this is just, I don't know.
Don't read any comics from the 90s.
God.
Well, everybody's got gooey spit.
Who wants that?
No, stop.
90s teenagers wanted that.
I like the little cape he has.
He does have a delightful little cape.
I want
it's
that.
It's just so small.
Is this what he was wearing, like, before?
I think this is the costume because it looks like a Victorian suit.
Yeah, that's so what I was thinking. I appreciate that.
It pays homage to the literature that he's based on.
I feel like this is like people who get like real obsessed about something and just like that becomes their identity. So they just like, you know, become elves like all the time, stuff like that. Except this person has a science degree and took it a smidge too far.
Just a smidge.
Could have gone Mr. Fear, like, I really want to unlock the formula of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but it turns him into an elf accidentally. So he's going he's gotta have to change his villainous plans.
That's what defines if you're a true villain or not. Can you adapt?
Are there villains that turned into silly things by accident?
Broccoli Man.
Broccoli Man.
What?
Banana Lady.
Did you say Broccoli Man?
Yeah, I think it's a Archie villain.
What?
I guess that
Archie
kind of
has
makes sense.
Villains?
Archie Comics had superheroes. It's not just about teen comedies. Yeah.
Yeah, Veronica's not talking to Broccoli Man.
Just like as a tangent that I was thinking about recently, it's weird to me that like when I was a kid, broccoli was like super gross in all the media that I consumed. Mm-hmm. I actually really liked broccoli. Like I still do. And I liked it as a kid and I never understood why it was so vilified. Like it was one of those foods that's like consistently gross.
Now it's like Brussels sprouts. It's moved on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. I've seen like three commercials with kids being grossed out about Brussels sprouts.
Apparently, you know, the Inside Out movie that she has broccoli and there's broccoli on pizza or something.
Yeah.
Depending on the country, it's not the same vegetable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The link is that Mr. the character Hyde is dressed in green.
Yeah.
So what does he do when he's Hyde? It like says big and strong and punchy.
Yes, but he still has a scientific mind and he still sometimes he'll just like stay in the buff monster and still run the science stuff. And like
he's
not a dumb brute. He's not the Hulk.
But it's just like it feels like the Hulk. Like it feels like if the Hulk came into work instead of Bruce, but was smart, just like this big hulking man walking around with beakers. It's just like,
or even what? The beast isn't even quite large and still working in the lab. That would be very I like the image now. It's really funny.
They all work in the same lab.
Imagine a tiny stool.
Imagine him like going to brunch like this.
Mimosa!
I feel the same though. mimosas.
Yeah,
he's like, look, I've had a long week.
I mean, in the main picture, he kind of looks like he's screaming, yes! So basically, you're offering him to go to brunch, and he's really excited about it.
Yeah. I feel like this could be a meme. Like a me before I have my coffee.
Honestly, like when someone invites me to brunch and it's I'll feel safe again to go, I'm probably gonna make this face. Like, damn, I miss brunch.
Is Mr. Hyde hot or not?
No.
No, but hot suit. Really? I don't know. Suit.
He's sort of half guru on me. I like that he's like punchy and smart, which is, it's actually interesting. It feels like a theme of this episode being like two things that aren't normally together in a Link. Character.
Okay, but what happens? Does he like, as a 5'1", 185 pounds man, does he like wear that big suit before getting his little shot and 30 seconds after he's that big guy? Or is he ripping his clothes every single time?
He can control it, so presumably he takes the shot in the lab with his locker with the bigger clothes.
Maybe he's got the same tech that Mr. Fantastic does.
So he's always wearing that Victorian suit. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sexy. No. For me, Mr. Hyde, not brunch hot.
Dr. Jekyll, medium.
Well, it's like, you see how we spoke about everything, even broccoli more than him? Boring.
It's usually what that means.
Its sorrow is as sweet to me as a rare wine. I'm yours.
Art credits: Mirage by June Brigman, Mr. Fantastic by Jerry Ordway, Mr. Fear by Jackson Geis, Mr. Hyde by John Romita Jr.
The time is out of joint.
The time is out of joint.
The time is out of joint.
The year is 1994, or 1944, or maybe 2994? Time is under threat, and history is falling apart. Who will survive this crisis, and how will history be changed for those that do? Zero Hour Strikes takes you back to that DC Comics crossover and covers the entire story, issue by issue, tie-in by tie-in, as the DC Universe goes down to zero. Join Bass and Siskoid at fireandwaterpodcast.com or on iTunes. Zero Hour Strikes, a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Remember Legion.
Female bag.
You became a ghost.
This is about episode 75. Your thoughts on Mentor, Mephisto, Merlin, and Mesmero. So let's start with Mentor. Gene Hendricks quotes, "He looks like he smells like an old man, but not an old, old man, 40 to 55. And then he says, "I feel attacked."
Okay. I thought about that. I want to go back on that. The way I was seeing it was like, as a young girl, how my father would smell. So like, as a young girl, 50 is super old.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, 50 is like Silver Fox. All good.
Good save. Ange said, shedding a single tear, "I'd rather be an old man than an old, old man, but I'd rather be a young man than an old man."
That's a poem.
Yeah. On Mephisto, Tom G said there was a question about where Mephisto would take someone on a date. That question was answered a few years ago in New Mutants when he coerced Magma into going on a date with him.
Where did they go?
I don't know.
But hello.
That doesn't seem like an appropriate story. Isn't Magma a teenager?
Yeah.
Chris Franklin says, "I guess your soul is worth access to a good hip bone. Who knew?"
Everyone knew.
Mike Dina says, "This just reinforces my stereotype that all ladies are attracted to the bad boy." Ryan Daly's not safe for work comment: "I loved how ready some of the girls were to fuck the devil."
Okay, but looking back at the image, I'm like, again, hot and bothered. So, you know.
Yeah. I was telling my coworker about her opinion on Mephisto, and he was looking at me with a face of like, "Jesus Christ, wine mom, stop being so fucking thirsty."
Oh, man. Okay, now Merlin. Gene Hendricks is back. He says, I'm so glad as a huge Arthurian nut that they retconned the Merlin that Thor fought into an imposter. The idea of the real Merlin having plans within plans in order to get Captain Britain to be born makes a lot of sense. He had plans in Arthurian times too. If only they, mainly Arthur, had listened to him, things would have turned out better. And says, this is such a classic look. I practically hear him singing Hidgetus Fidgetus from Sword in the Stone.
Yeah, I mean, he's like old, old man hot.
Gandalf hot, yeah. Jonathan Riddle has a few thoughts about Merlin and old wizards. He says, the pointed hat has been a long-standing accessory in various histories and cultures. In medieval Europe, Jews were sometimes mandated to wear pointed hats when traveling outside of their home neighborhoods to be easily identified by fearful and racist Gentiles. Okay. Some images of Jewish Kabbalah mystics depict the Magi much like a stereotypical wizard with long robes and beard wearing a pointed hat. Whether the literary Merlin was Jewish, Muslim, pagan, or Christian is up for debate. The conical shape was believed to stimulate the brain to serve, in effect, as a literal thinking cap. The dunce cap, used to admonish unruly children in school, is a gross inversion of the thinking cap, ridiculing a student by suggesting that such a tyke requires a brain-stimulating hat to act civilized.
Huh.
In the Daredevils number one, a Marvel UK magazine with original Captain Britain comics by Alan Moore and Alan Davis, Merlin is presented as a shape changer with many different appearances, including the criminal Merlin who fought Thor in a ridiculous purple robe covered in stars and crescents. The comic suggests all forms of Merlin are the same wizard, choosing to manifest his presence in various ways throughout time and space. And incidentally, Cloudbeard is a pretty cool name for a wizard.
I just want to say I appreciate the cone hat trivia.
That was
the kind of shit that I would stay up at 4 a.m. to read about.
It's really interesting.
But it comes from, it's a Jewish caricature.
Yeah, I'm going to break this out at parties and just impress people now.
What parties?
You have more friends.
You're going to impress us? We already know about it.
I mean, eventually. I don't mean we'll now.
We will all have forgotten about it. Isabel will just get this out again and be like... Yeah.
Of everyone here, the first person to forget this is going to be Isabel.
Yes, I'm gonna completely immediately. I don't even know what we're talking about. What?
Let's look at Mesmero. Kurt Onstott doesn't think it looks like Walt Simonson art on Mesmero, other than some little flourishes down in the boots. Captain Entropy says, I really appreciated the strong and well-articulated moral stances that Mesmero provoked. We shouldn't have to point out that treating people the way Mesmero does is wretched, but we do, and I appreciate the Hot Squad for doing it so unequivocally. And Mike Dynas says, I have nothing to say about this dingus, but I want to say I would buy the snot out of a Pitman series.
Oh, yes!
Pitman!
I thought Pitman was a villain. Didn't he have his own series?
Yeah. Spider-Man pushed him in a pit.
And after that, he just wants revenge on Spider-Man. It feels more like a...
No, but that's the thing. He starts like that, but then he gets better. They fight before they become friends.
I feel like I just had a stroke for the past 45 seconds. What's happening?
Pitman!
I made a joke about how villains have stupid origins, like a superhero pushed them down to something or into something or whatever, and then they become evil. So then I was like, like Spider-Man pushed him in a pit, and then Mike's like, and that's the origin of Pitman. And it was very funny.
Where was I?
Not listening.
Yeah, and you guys say that I'm the one that's going to forget the trivia.
Oh, we all forget.
I think I blanked out from Mesmero because I remember nothing about him.
So before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FWPodcasts. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards like getting on the hot list and get the girls to throw a custom compliment at you. I don't know what you're going to do with the fear theme that we've been going on.
You're brave.
How do you turn fear into a compliment? Okay, you're all ideas? Terrifying, but in Why? A good way.
It is. Give us one for Mike Dynas.
Mike Dynas, I'm afraid that if you weren't in the
I'm afraid.
Yes, what were you saying?
We were laughing.
I said said that I'm afraid if you weren't in my life, I'd be sad.
Oh,
that's like that. Nice.
Go ahead, shotgun for no. Monsieur Luc.
Monsieur Luc, you're terrific.
Terrific. Okay.
Terrific. Yes.
Terrific. We need one for Gene Hendricks.
Okay. This is kind of convoluted, but that is my way.
Yes.
I like you as much as I like kids' scary content, which is a lot. I love kids' scary content. Like around Halloween, Are You Afraid of the Dark or some shit like that. Type of stuff is my favorite thing in the world. I like you that much. So that's a compliment.
It is, actually, for once.
All right, we're going to call him Goosebumps Hendrix. And finally, Eric.
Eric, if I was in a scary situation, I'd want you by my side.
Oh, that's nice.
See, fear can be done.
Yeah, and we didn't even use you're brave.
But all to right. be fair, half the time when it is a good theme, we're like, you're like a tree.
You have limbs.
You have limbs. Not unlike a tree.
All right, say goodbye, guys.
Oh, God, it's Friday.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We love you.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
To get 3 pages, you need to be in movies?
I think the correlation is more if you have 3 pages, you have a better chance of being in a movie. Yeah.